Galatians 3, verses 1 through 9. Hear God's Word. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the grace that you extend to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fact that even before the foundation of the world, you were pleased to write our names in the book of life and to extend grace to us as we ourselves entered the world. And in Adam were sinners, and yet you were pleased to save us and to send your only begotten Son into the world to pay the penalty due to us for our sins. We thank you for this, and we praise you and give you thanks that you are the good and gracious God of all, and that we are privileged to be your servants. Bless us as we have opportunity now to look into this portion of your word and give us your grace. We ask in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and Savior. Amen. There is a very virile and strong, forceful presentation by some in Reformed circles that the covenant given by Moses on Mount Sinai is a republication of the covenant of works. Of course, you remember what the covenant of works is. That in the garden, Adam was given this command. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. And of course, that meant that if Adam obeyed the command of God, by his own merit, Adam would achieve what we understand to be heaven. He would gain heaven by works. And so some have come along now and they have said, when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and particularly gave the Ten Commandments, that that this covenant with Moses, that God gave to Moses, is a republication, is a reinstitution of the covenant of works. Well, the Apostle Paul weighs in against this idea in the book of Galatians. He weighs in against the works of the law because they are opposed to hearing with faith. And of course, how are you saved? By grace through faith. And so when Paul weighs in against this, we need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. Because the propensity of each of us is to move in the direction of works and to pat ourselves on the back in many respects and expect that God will pat us on the back because of what we have done. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by this position. Trust Christ in the gospel. This is the point that Paul is making in our text in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And Paul acknowledges the fact that those to whom he's speaking among the churches of Galatia have heard the gospel. In verse 1 in Galatians 3, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" The Galatian churches were the churches that the Apostle Paul established during his first missionary journey in Central Asia Minor, which we know as Turkey today. And the Apostle Paul had good fruit in his ministry there in Galatia. And many came to know the Lord. And so he's very positive about the fact, saying that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed before your eyes. And what he means there is that Jesus Christ was presented to you in the gospel. This is really what he means. In the preaching of the gospel, I presented to you Jesus Christ. I presented to you the fact that God sent Jesus Christ into the world and that he lived a perfect life. I presented to you that Christ died according to the scriptures to pay the penalty for the sins of people like you. I presented to you the fact that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. I know because of my ministry in your midst that you did hear these things. And as I have the privilege of being with you today, I can say I know that you've also heard these things, have you not? You've had the gospel presented to you. You've had the gospel shown to you in vivid colors and vivid descriptions concerning what Christ has done for you by your pastors. I'm confident this is the case and that you would acknowledge that this is so. And Paul also says to the Galatians that you received the Spirit and that he continues to work miracles among you. In verse 2, Paul says, "This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" They did receive the Spirit. And in verse 5, he says, "So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you Paul's supposition is that God is continuing to supply those in the Galatian churches with the Spirit of God, with His own Spirit, and that miracles are continuing to be worked among the people of God by the Spirit. One of the great miracles that the Apostle Paul performed was in Lystra, one of the locations to which he visited, in his first missionary journey. He encountered a man who was crippled in his feet from birth, and the man was healed. And there was great rejoicing among the people there. And of course, the great miracle is the miracle of the new birth. When people are born again by the power of the Spirit. And that miracle takes place here, does it not? That God supplies you with His Spirit and works miracles among you. And every time God in His grace causes one of your children to be born again by the power of the Spirit, and every time someone comes into your midst and hears the gospel, and the Lord opens his or her heart to respond to the things that are spoken in the gospel, that wonderful miracle of the new birth takes place. And so I'm confident that God, in His goodness and grace, continues to supply you with His Spirit and to work miracles, the miracle of the new birth, particularly among you. But Paul cautions now. The works of the law are opposed to the hearing of faith. Verse 2 again. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And in verse 5, Paul reiterates the question, a little bit different form, but it's really substantially the same question. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And by the words hearing with faith, the Apostle Paul is talking about hearing the gospel, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and that by hearing the word of Christ. That's how Paul puts it in Romans. And so Paul is talking about hearing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Of course, there you have it again. The gospel is the good news. The good news about Jesus Christ. The good news about what God has done in Jesus Christ. How, once again, Christ lived a perfect life, and you and I have not come close to living a perfect life. You and I are sinners, and we need to hear the gospel. You and I need to hear the gospel. You need the good news of Jesus Christ. And one reason we come together on a weekly basis is so that weekly we can be reminded of the goodness of God and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And faith is a response to the gospel. Faith is the proper response to the good news of the gospel. And when you find the word faith in the Bible, you should understand that that's one side of the coin of conversion. True conversion consists of faith and repentance. Or repentance and faith. And so the proper response to hearing the good news is to repent of sin and to trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And the works of the law are opposed to hearing with faith. See, here we are back to the law again. The covenant with Moses. And all the ceremonies that were included in that covenant. And what Paul encountered was that there were folks from the Jewish community who opposed the gospel and were spreading the message around the Galatian churches that you needed to follow certain ceremonies in the law in addition to having faith in Christ in order to be saved. That you had to add works of the law to faith in order to be saved. And Paul is weighing in against that. And of course, most of you remember the fact that one of the ceremonial aspects of the law that the so-called Judaizers were telling the people needed to be accomplished in order for there to be salvation was circumcision, the Old Testament seal of the covenant. That if you didn't follow this ceremony and other ceremonies, you couldn't be saved. Well, that's part of the works of the law. That's what Paul is talking about. And the works of the law are opposed to hearing with faith. This is a trap into which you and I can stumble and fall. I remember sitting in a Sabbath school class in a Reformed Presbyterian church years ago, and one of the elderly men in the Sabbath school class said something like this: "We sing psalms. We do it right. Therefore, God accepts us." I said, "Oops." I believe in singing psalms. I believe that that's what God desires to hear from our lips. And I believe from the Bible that we are made instruments of praise before God to utter back to Him, as we have already been told, words that He has been pleased to give us. And Gerhardus Voss, in a sermon that he preached at Princeton Seminary years ago, said there are no other words better than the words of the Psalms that we can give back to God. I think he was right. But just because you and I sing psalms does not mean we can pat ourselves on the back for being good boys and that God will receive us on the basis of our works. Oops is right. You see, it's very easy to slip into that mentality. And I could say, well, I've been in church work for 45 years. I've paid my dues. Well, what do you mean, Denny, you've paid your dues? Wrong. I haven't come close to paying what I owe God for the salvation that He has been pleased to give me in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid it all. That's part of the wonder of the gospel. And so Paul is pointing out to these Galatians that the works of the law oppose the hearing of faith. And so don't be foolish. See, this is part of the point, isn't it? Don't be foolish and trust yourself. Verse 1 again. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Who, one of the commentators puts it this way, who hypnotized you so as to believe something different than the pure gospel of grace in Jesus Christ? Who caused you to deviate ever so slightly from that gospel? In verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. And the churches of Galatia, to which Paul is writing, suffered much at the hands of the Judaizers who sought might and main to steer them away from the gospel. And early on in his own ministry to those churches, Paul was stoned, taken out of the city and stoned, and left for dead. And the Christians' brothers and sisters gathered around him, and he was raised up and continued his ministry. Have you suffered so much in vain? Paul asks. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Dear friends in the congregation, having begun by the Spirit, having been born again, having God, as Peter says, causing you to be born again, have you suffered so much in vain that you forget that you began by the Spirit? And are you now subtly trying to make advances by your own energy and by the expending of your own strength? Well, I've been here for a lot of years, and I've been here every Lord's Day. Morning and evening. You could check it off the calendar. And if one of the pastors asks me to perform a task, I'm first in line. And I clean the kitchen, clean the cabinets, scrub the floor, vacuum, straighten chairs. You ask me, I'll do it. I'm faithful. Careful. Careful.
Don't be so foolish as to trust yourself and add your labors in the congregation to the grace of God and expect that those labors added to the grace of God are going to stand you in good stead before the judgment throne of Christ. Careful. Yeah, you may have noticed that I put in the bulletin as the title of the sermon, "O Foolish... dot, dot, dot." I thought about putting in the bulletin the title, "O Foolish Reformed Presbyterians." But I thought, maybe that's not the best way to start. But you get the point, you see. Don't be foolish. Trust Christ alone for your salvation. Trust God's promises in the gospel. Look at verses 6 and 8. "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And verse 8, "The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.'" And that promise in the end of verse 8, quoted from the Old Testament, is shorthand for, "In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Abraham, in you and in your seed, Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I wonder how many nations are represented here in this congregation. It's quite a few. Quite a few. The blessing that has come through Jesus Christ to you and me of many different nations. And as I've already said, the proper response to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, is faith. Verse 6 again, "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Righteousness comes as a free gift from God through Jesus Christ. You are given the gift of righteousness by God, so that you can stand before the most holy God and be accepted by Him. Not righteousness that you ginned up yourself by keeping the commandments of God, but the gift of God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. It was given to him as a free gift, and his account was filled to overflowing with the righteousness of Christ. It was part of what Christ did, the righteousness pressed down and overflowing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to the likes of you and me. Imagine this. You have to step back and think carefully about it, that miserable sinners, worms under rocks. I have a grandson who, when he visits, loves to pick up the rocks in the yard and watch the little critters scramble under those rocks. Calvin, when he prays at the end of his sermons, often likens himself to a worm and not a man. So feeble, so consumed with darkness in comparison to the brilliance of the glory and the light of God, that there is no comparison. And he falls on his face and he says, "Oh God, help me to understand the depth and the wickedness of my sin, and thank you for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which I in no way deserve, but you, in your grace and goodness, have been pleased to give it to me so that I can enter into the inner precincts of God's throne room and observe the beauty of the Lord." What a thing. God has been pleased to give to you and to me by faith. In a Bible study on a Sabbath evening, we were in our congregation in Kansas talking about these things, and I offered to the congregation that you as individuals have nothing to offer to God. You have nothing to bring to God. And one of the men raised his hand. And I acknowledged him. And he said, "I have something to offer to God." And I responded, "What's that?" And he puffed up his chest a little bit. And he said, "My faith." And I asked, "What is faith?" You see, this dear friend was in essence making faith a work which would merit his reception before God. And so I asked the question, what is faith? Faith actually is accepting and understanding the fact that you are empty, that you have nothing resident within your life to offer to God that merits His approval. Nothing. And on the other hand, faith is an acknowledgement of the fact that Jesus Christ offers you everything you need with regard to a relationship with God. I am empty. Jesus Christ is full. He is the one who has everything and has done everything necessary for me to live a life of salvation and godliness. He has done it all. I have nothing to offer. You see how easy it is to slip into the idea of the works of the law. Don't be fooled. Don't slip
Hold to the gospel of grace. Don't be fooled. Trust Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good and gracious to us, undeserving though we be. And we thank you and praise you that because of what Christ has done for us, you receive us as your children, as your sons and daughters. Keep us from being fooled. Keep us from being deceived. Keep us from having our faith undermined by those who would preach a works righteousness. Keep us centered on Jesus Christ and His good word to us in the gospel, so that we won't be fooled and deceived, but always, for all things, trust in Him alone. Hear us, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior, we pray. Amen.